here and introduce and greet. But I tell you what, I'm just going around and I feel faith in the atmosphere today. I'm telling you, I want to thank each and every one of you, because in all honesty, when I look at you, I'm serious when I say this, I look around and I see people that are stronger today than they've ever been in their faith. And some of you have always been strong. Some of you have been strong and consistent. Some of us are just getting started. But here's what I can honestly say. We are stronger people today in our faith than what we've been in our past. Amen? And I tell you what, because you are giving God a sacrifice of praise, I tell you what, this city is safer than it's ever been, and it will be safer. And I will tell you that I am so used to people getting outside of themselves now that we have strange experiences all the time. Amen? And so right before we get into worship, we're going to go ahead and share a strange experience, and I'm going to put more pressure on them than I did the last service, and I'm going to make them come up here with me. Come on up here, Miss Linda. This is a young lady. When I met her, she told me, "Pastor, there's two things I can't do. Just don't make me talk in front of people, and I'm not really good like dealing with people one-on-one on faith." Isn't that some of the things we first said? So would you just tell us what happened this weekend?
Well, I decided to go with the outreach group yesterday, which was a big step for me. And when I left the house, I was feeling great. And by the time I got here, and Kenton's not that far across town, my head hurt, my stomach was turning, but I decided, nope, I can do this. And thanks to Mona, I went with her, and she really helped me out. But we didn't get to talk to a lot of people, but we did talk to a man that wanted prayer, and maybe someday he'll be able to, they'll come here as a family. And like Pastor said, if nothing else, we planted a seed. So I will do it again. It was awesome.
Hey. You told me that this is just the one thing you would ask me to never do, is have you come up and talk in front of people. So now that your faith has broken through this arena, who knows what else we'll be able to do. Amen? God bless you. Thank you, Miss Linda. Hey, I want you to know something. I'm telling you, it's amazing, because she told me herself, can't do all that. But here she is, not only going it street to street, but in here in front of all of you. That means that seriously, if we will just allow God, there really is no limit to what he may do in our life and in our faith. And with that being said, I think it's time for us to raise a hallelujah. I think it's time for us to give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I think it's time for us to celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Stand your feet with us this morning. Let us be grateful we are here. Thankful in my heart I was lost, but now I'm found. Let us be grateful we are his. Covered in safety, I find rest within the Father's hand. Your love is all around me. Gratefulness inside me, your faithfulness before me. Is all I- around me, crippleness inside me, your faithfulness before me, before me.
About a song. Praise is about who he is. Amen. And giving him who he is, giving him his due. So for a moment, I just want you to sit here and cry out to him and thank him for things that he's done for you. Listen, if we just do a song up here and we don't give you a moment to do what we do at home and just lift up our voices to him and praise him with our voice, amen. Then we do a disservice to the church and we make them think that this is what worship is. Amen. We make them think that it's three songs and we're done, four songs and we're done. And that is not what it is. Let's not make things common. So let's just take a moment and you just lift your voice up to Lord. Lord, I just give you glory this morning for everything that you've done. Lord, we just give you honor and praise this morning, for you are worthy of it all. There is no other God like you, Father God. You are the great I am. You are who you were, you are, and you are to come, Lord God. There is nothing, nothing that is impossible for you. Father, I thank you for the breath that we breathed when we woke up this morning. I thank you that we were able to step out of our bed this morning and praise your name. Lord, I thank you that we're able to get into a car and drive wherever we want, Lord God. Wherever you lead us, wherever you direct us. Lord, I thank you for the peace that we have, the peace that you supply. The peace that surpasses all understanding. I thank you that you are the great I am. You are the great I am. Listen, I'm not the only voice that should be shouting in here and lifting up. Amen. Amen. Lord, you are worthy. There is none like you, my God. There is none like you.
There is none.
Hallelujah. Woo. Worthy are you, God. Are you God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy.
pray with tears still on your face. But I heard you say my name.
I'm not afraid, I see your face.
faith. You raised me up from the grave. You turned my fear into faith. You raised me up from the grave.
In here, somebody's going through something, and let me tell you what, when you was not yet a saved person, when you were still a sinner, he came and he rescued you. Listen, what you got now is not bigger than who he is. He came and he'll come again, and he'll come again, and he'll come again. There is no stop with your God. Do you understand that? There's no obstacle that will make him stop. There's nothing that can back him up. He'll remove the obstacle and he'll go through it. Listen, you don't know how long I've been waiting to do that in here. I'm just telling you, listen. The Lord says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But don't stop there, because our hope comes next. Because it said he'll deliver us from them all. Amen. Okay, breathe. I gotta sing this next song. But despite how you feel right now, despite what you think looks ahead of you, I want you to raise a hallelujah to your God. And you're gonna praise him before you see the end of this thing, amen?
Hear my praises roar. What from the ashes?
Lord God, for those who are able and those who are not, we cry out to you and we raise a hallelujah right now in the middle of the storm, in the middle of their storm. Lord God, come and just get in their storm and break it up in Jesus' name, Lord God. Break it up. Lord, I thank you that the sun is coming. Daylight is coming, Lord God. It always gets darkest before it gets light. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are about to shine in their situation. You are breaking stuff open. And Lord God, you are breaking things loose that will never have hold on them again. That will never be able to invade their home again. Lord, we pray out there right now for the addicts. Invade their homes, Lord God. We send your word out. Invade their homes. Break the chains of bondage off of this community, Lord God. Break it off, Lord God. Open blind eyes. Not just natural, but in the spiritual, Lord God. Those that can't see you and don't hear you, open them up. Open them up, Lord God. Let them know who you are. Break the bondages, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. I guess I'm supposed to be ready at this point, huh? Am I supposed to be ready right now? Hallelujah. I think I'm supposed to be ready and up there and hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, if you haven't noticed yet, I want you to know that the depths of the Lord is upon us. Amen. There's an increase of the presence of the Lord. His presence is here. I want you to know that God is going to start and continue to just do work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I guess you got something to go do.
I do.
Amen.
Let's just pray for Noah.
Hallelujah. We're going to pray for little Noah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. That will come later, baby. That will come later. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, how is everybody today? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I want you to know, I need you to keep your faith out there. Because some of us are having our strongest faith moments ever. But there's others, sometimes even among us, that may be having the most travailing time of their life. They may be questioning whether they're loved, or they may be questioning where they're at or what's going on. And we just need to keep people wrapped in prayer, faith, hope, and love. We need to do that. I want you to know something, that as we continue to get excited about the building growing, and I'm sure if some of you've gone by there, boy, it's all under roof now, and they're keeping a section open just to be able to put supplies in through that open section to be able to start the inside construction and all that. So things are happening, but I want you to know that, remember, any time the blessing of God comes, the resistance of the enemy is always on the edge. Listen to me. I want you to know that when you press into God, resistance is going to come. It's going to happen. The enemy is not interested in messing with you when you're weak.
Right.
You do a good job of expressing your weakness.
Right.
He don't need to mess with you when you're weak. But when you're pressing in, when you determine that you are going to move from here to over there, when you determine that I ain't sitting out here no more, I'm not going to be a fringe dweller, I'm going into the deep of the deep, I'm going deep, I'm not going to be out here in the immature land, I'm going to press in and see God, it's then when the enemy is going to raise his eyebrow and come to try to turn you away from being in pursuit of God. And I tell you what, I'm proud of you. For you that are here, just keep pressing in. God is moving on your behalf. You just need to stand strong. Amen? I can't wait, because we're stepping into a series that's going to be good for us.
Amen.
And And I've got some things coming for you that we got to hand out. It talks about the word, prayer, fasting, honoring God, resistance, and perseverance.
Amen.
Because resistance will come before you see the miracle. And you're going to have persistence.
Amen.
I'll never forget. I'm looking at Brother Carol and Vicky, just pillars of faith.
Amen.
And they'll tell you about some of the resistances they've had, but I'll never forget when I was first meeting them, right before I came in to pray for Miss Vicky, who had been through a terrible stroke. It was amazing because the doctors came and said something to him and Brother Carol, and his meek, honorable discernment said, "That is not acceptable." Woo!
Come on.
He said, I'm just teasing here. He said, "I've been listening to that lady's voice straighten me out for all these years." He said, "She's going to have to be able to talk. She's going to have to be able to walk and do the things that she does." And I remember that we just pressed into faith, didn't we? And God was faithful to you guys. And I tell you what, unless someone told you that Miss Vicky had a stroke and told you the drasticness of it, you couldn't even believe it. Amen? And not to mention that our brother, Mr. Carroll, he's had his own battles. The enemy tried to take him out early with a little heart issue, a major heart issue. How blocked were you, brother? 3 valves blocked. 90%. And God did a supernatural miracle. Listen, when you live for God, when you tithe, when you believe God and you just live for Him, God will come in and intervene on your behalf. Amen? And I tell you what, if you start getting some diagnosis or you start getting some reports from the doctor, just look at that doctor the way Brother Carroll did with his meek demeanor and said, "That is not acceptable." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to tell the devil today, anything less than the blessing of God is not acceptable. Yes. Anything less than righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is not acceptable. Anything less than me living out the deliverance, the power, and the authority that God gave us the right to live in is not acceptable. Amen.
Amen.
And we're not going to settle for less than what the Lord says we are supposed to have. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to have it in our houses. We're going to have it in our church. We're going to have it in our relationships. We're going to have it in our marriages. Okay, baby.
Amen.
I'll keep focused. Woo, hallelujah. We're going to have it in our children. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to have it in our health.
Amen. Let me tell you, the word I got.
Finances.
Yes, we are. Every area.
Amen.
Every area.
Every area.
Mentally.
Yeah, total makeup.
Physically.
Look, do you know she's always going here?
Double dose, Lord.
Yeah, double dose. Oh, Lord, make me whole. Hallelujah.
No, but the Lord told me this morning to remind you that you're watchmen.
Mm.
The word says that you are your brother's keeper. Listen, we're getting ready to go into a new land.
Mm.
Don't you think we're going to get fought in the land that we're at right now? Because the new land is ground that the enemy doesn't want us to take, and too bad. Because we're already there, amen? But that doesn't mean that the attack still isn't coming. Be a watchman. You pray for your family. This is a family of faith. Listen, there's not one person that comes into this place that's not welcome and that's not
wanted. Amen, amen.
We want everybody, amen?
Amen.
And if you see somebody feeling like that, then maybe you should reach out.
Amen.
Sis, what's going on today?
Amen.
You having a bad day? What's, you know, help, you know. And if you're feeling that way and you think somebody's against you, if you stay quiet, do you understand that vain imaginations will run your world as to why that thing is? And it's probably that person didn't even see you that day or was focused on something else, their kids, or somebody else was saying something to them, and they just, you may have said it loud, but they just were focused. Listen, if I get super focused, you can ask Phil. I don't hear nothing except for what I'm focused on.
Amen.
And I'm a multitasker to the end.
Yes, you are.
But there's times when you get super focused on something and your brain is thinking about that. I've had people come up to me and butt me and said, "I said hi." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness, I'm sorry."
Yeah.
Listen, don't allow that kind of stuff to stay.
It ain't just people. I've come up to you and it's Henry. I said hi.
He'll come in the house and I won't even know he's there because I'm lost in a thought.
Amen.
Thinking about this or thinking about that. But be watchman. Be your brother's keeper. Be praying. Hold this church up in prayer. Hold your brothers and sisters up in prayer. Don't let the enemy come in and sneak attack us. Listen, we're bigger than that. We're better than that. We have more authority than that. Amen? Listen, we're not weak-minded little Christians that don't understand Amen. That we have to continue to fight the fight of faith.
We fight the fight of faith. Amen. And oh, by the way, I got to give you a little redneck school and a little black school. And what that is
I'm
that,
not even going there.
That I know that in redneck communities, which I've always been a part of, and I can tell you about my redneck. If you don't like it, how many of you have ever caught 75 snapping turtles by hand?
Who would be silly enough to catch 75?
How many of you on a regular basis used to box over 100 rabbits in little boxes and pull them out? And I found out it was illegal later, but I didn't understand at the time. But I was running a business because I take those rabbits out, clunk them in the head, and sell them to my neighbors. Brother Carol, I didn't know the Ohio laws, I promise you. I was not trying to be
Now
illegal.
You're getting arrested. You just said it on camera.
I was just trying to make me some money. But anyhow, I want you to know, so my redneck static is intact, amen? I'm officially a redneck, amen? And I wear my stripes well. Snapping turtles, rabbits, hallelujah. Eating in the wilderness most of my life, praise God. Listen, I want you to know something. That in those communities, black folks and rednecks, we could be fighting with our brother. Come up here, Mr. Smith. You're my example today. And we're related. We're brothers. And we're engaged. And then all of a sudden, you have something to say about it. Let's go get Hoover. Oh, boom, 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 boom. So what I'm telling you is that we might have a squabble in here. I might have to get on you as a pastor. We might have our own interaction, but when we go out there, we never tear each other down.
And we should never get to that right there, bad example.
And we should never get to where we are physically fighting, but if me and my brother are squabbling and somebody comes in from the outside, we're going to quit fighting each other and they're going down in Jesus' name, amen? So what I want you to know is that we can have our differences within the church, but when we leave this house, we're a united front. And I promise you, I don't expect you to be downgrading, tearing down, ripping up, and shredding. And if you do find out that someone has a struggle or weakness, my expectation is that you cover your brother or your sister with love. Amen? Amen. I will tell you that there was two sons, well, there was three sons, actually, that a man named Noah had. And one time, Noah got a little tipsier than he should have been, and he wasn't dressed the best. One son ran his mouth and was cursed. The other two sons wouldn't even look upon their father's nakedness. They took a blanket, they backed up with their backs to their father, and as soon as they saw his feet, they just covered him up. He was drunk. God didn't look at his drunkenness, but he did look at how those who were in their right mind treated him. And I ain't talking about the right mind of just not being drunk. When we're in our right mind, it's only because we're in unity with God. Amen? Because humanity that ain't saved ain't in their right mind. Hallelujah. Boy. So I want you to know something, that if we were to happen to see a weakness, we cover. We don't undercover. We cover. We don't discover. You leave that to the History Channel. Amen? They messed that up enough as it is. We don't need to help them. Praise the name of God.
You can't come to us and talk about my pastor.
No, you can't. Oh, yeah.
You can't come to us and discuss my pastor. We used to take this person. We were assigned to drive this person. We lived in Van Wert to Bodkins with us because we lived there. And so we would pick him up and take him. About the second trip in, on the way home, he starts talking. And he starts talking about my pastor. And we said, not here. You want to ride to church, we'll give you a ride to church, but you will not talk about our pastor in front of us.
Yeah.
Listen, that man has paid a price.
Amen.
That man has done what he needs to do, and he has paid a price, and honor is due him. Amen. I said, now, he's not a perfect man, as none of us are.
Amen.
You want to put people up on a pedestal just to knock them off, and it's just a shame.
Amen. Amen.
It's just a shame. Amen?
Amen.
So I said, you know, We let him know in no uncertain terms.
Yes, we.
You're not going to talk
about our
pastor to us.
Yes, we did, baby.
We're not going to do that. We don't do that.
Yep.
Listen, we honor him and we love him. And if we see something in, we pray and we say, God, and most of the time that I've done that, God's changed something in me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying.
We found out that we were the problem. Amen.
I'm mostly the problem all the time when I have issues. Oh, Lou, I get before the Lord. I find out. But anyway.
It's always me.
Listen, then we had another situation where somebody invited us over to their house to eat. And they tried to talk to us about wrong doctrine. Now, God surely wouldn't have you guys tithing if it was going to put a stress on your household. He certainly wouldn't do that. Don't you think? And we said, listen here.
The only way we got out of stress.
No, we don't think the way you think.
Yeah, because the only way we got out of stress was tithing, because we was a mess before we tithed.
These people didn't know is we wouldn't eat for a couple days before he got paid again, waiting to get paid again.
Amen.
We weren't almost poor. We were poor.
Amen.
We weren't paycheck to paycheck. We were almost paycheck to paycheck.
Come on, baby. And only tithing brought us out of that, right?
Listen, and it didn't matter. Listen, I'm dogmatic. It don't matter.
Amen.
His word says it.
Amen. We gonna do it.
I am black and white. If that word says it, that's what we're going to do. That is not what I meant. Help us, Jesus. But I'm serious. If the word says it, nobody can talk me out of it. And I wouldn't let nobody talk to me about wrong doctrine.
Amen.
Somebody comes up to you telling you can sin all you want because grace covers you. You better shoot them down and not. You better talk them down and say, watch my. You can't say that like you used to say that a long time ago.
Yeah, not down here.
But you better talk them down and say, listen, that is not what the word says.
Amen.
And you better be full of the word so that when somebody talks to you, you can sow back into them with love.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, I'm big on this watchman thing today.
Yes, you are, baby.
Be a watchman. Be watchman.
Amen.
Lift up the body of Christ. Don't tear it down.
Amen.
Listen, there's enough out there tearing us down.
Amen.
In this world right now. Ooh. Things coming at our children that's never come against us.
Amen.
Things coming against us that's never come against our forefathers before us. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you what, we need to be one another's brother and our keeper. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Boy, that is good stuff, baby. You forgot to tell that one of the most important meetings of the week is coming
up here. Men's Fellowship Breakfast.
Men's Fellowship Breakfast. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But I also think I should have probably let children go by now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll let you guys get it, especially because some of our sermon topic up here today is going to be real.
I'm going to give you a story real quick over our weekend because this is my life, people. This is my life. So we went to Rhode Island. You guys felt we went to Rhode Island. Pastor Jeff and Leilani Williams. Pastor Jeff's been here, preached to us before. And we go up there. We don't know how we're going. We just follow the navigational thing. So we go through New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, all those 5 to 5.5 hours. We were in 0 to 28 mile an hour traffic.
Mm-hmm. Amen. The only thing good about that was I was stuck with her. Hallelujah.
That wasn't good.
No, because she's a little impatient, if you don't know.
So on the way back.
So was I.
So on the way back, they said, because we went over the George Washington Bridge. They said, no, you never do that. Well, we don't know. We've never traveled that far up before.
We said, so, it's the President's Bridge. We thought it had all kinds of authority. It'll slow you down. You'll last on there.
I am amazed that people live that way. Like, small town girl, want to stay a small town girl. Amen. But so on the way back, they sent us to this different bridge. I can't think of the name of it right now. But no navigational will take you that way to go home. So you have to put it in to go to that bridge. And then once you get to that bridge, then you'll put into where you want to go. And then it'll take you the right way. So we leave at 3:00 in the morning. I lasted till about 4:30 maybe.
You did good, baby.
I did. And it was on my phone, and he had his phone pointed towards home. So I said, babe, I'm just going to take a nap, and we get closer, you just wake me up. He says, okay. So
that worked real well. Tell that part of the story.
It's like in the morning. Listen, I'm not a morning person, so I think he tries to wake me up.
Yeah, I definitely tried to wake you up.
It's like a bad dream. And saying that we have like 40 miles left, and I said, no, too soon, and went back to sleep.
I'm going back to sleep.
So I'm in a dead sleep. I don't have problems sleeping in a car. I'm in a dead sleep. All of a sudden, he abruptly
now
wakes me up.
Wait, I want you to know that even coming here this morning, I get lost. Like this morning, I'm coming, we're worshiping, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm preaching the message, and all of a sudden I said, wait, honey, what road are we on? Okay, we're on Route 66, we're okay, 68, we're okay. Because I, you know, sometimes I have been known once in a while to go past my own driveway.
He has. Help me, Jesus. I hope you pray for me. But anyway,
so I woke her up when I could remember.
He abruptly, it wasn't, honey, honey, Regina, get up, I need your help. So I'm like, okay, and if you are not a morning person, you know how I'm feeling at this moment. You know I don't even realize, recognize the world. He said, help me, I don't know where to go. So I grabbed my phone, and he said, well, it says you were supposed to turn back there. So he had to go up, turn around, and we were by the bridge. So we get on the bridge, and I'm thinking, okay, good, we're back on course. Let me get ready to get us to the next place. We're halfway through the bridge, and he said, oh, we already went over this bridge. Good information before
Hallelujah.
We went back to the bridge, right? So we went over Ooh. That bridge three times. It's a beautiful bridge. Three
Once for
times.
The Father, two for the Son, three for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we're done.
So moral of the story, if you were ever riding with Pastor Phil and he is driving, don't fall asleep.
Ooh, amen. Hallelujah. It was a great moment, guys. We had fun. It was precious. And it added to our day, for real. Hey, what we're going to do this morning for our offering is I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to have them bring the buckets up. And just come and put these buckets up here, Brother Dave. And what we're going to do is you're just going to bring your tithes and offerings out of the merit of your faith. Because I want you to know that your personal tithes and offerings that are released by your faith moves our Father. And He needs you to know that He says in His Word that if you would move in tithes and offerings, He will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. He will open the windows of heaven on your behalf. So right now, just bring your tithes and offerings to the front. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen.
And yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy.
All you have to do is say, Lord, I will. I got a message coming up about a hair. Hallelujah. He numbers the very hair on our head. I got a message on that. But I can't preach it today. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I got to stick with what the Lord has given me for this next series. And I'm going to be preaching on this anywhere from 2 to the next 5. 6, 7, I don't know how many weeks, but at least the next few weeks we're going to be preaching on this topic. And I'm excited to be preaching on this topic for you today because I want you to know that it's a very, very powerful topic. And I believe that it's a right now topic. I believe it is a right now, must needs be preached topic. Amen. Now, we just finished up talking about fasting, and we heard how critical that is to our life. And then the Lord just backed me up. And he said to me, Philip, you know why people in the day aren't even aware that fasting is a part of the Christian covenant? And he said, it's because we have removed the honor from his word and the honor from him that's really due. So today we're going to teach a message called Honor is Due. Honor is due. And first of all, we got to deal with that word due. Because that word due is not like, hey, go do something. No, no, no. We're talking about due. That word is not like when the dog goes outside and your little kid looks over and says, ooh, look at that doo-doo. No, no, no. We're not looking at that. That's not the due we want to deal with. Amen. That's real. That's real. You got to keep your foot out of that stuff. But we're not dealing with that. Today, we're dealing with the word due. And that word due means that there is an obligation, usually financially, but it can be service-wise, and it can be whatever's valued as an obligation that is due as a payment that must be made now. It's kind of like this. Your rent or your mortgage is due on a certain date. And that date, in order for you to keep your house or the place you're renting or the vehicle you're driving, no matter what, there comes a point in time where what is due on that date must be paid. And if that payment is not made, you will be restricted from and eventually removed from that which you thought belonged to you. I want to put you on notice this morning that the thing about the kingdom of God is that honor is due. Honor is due to be given to our God. And I want you to know something, people, that if honor is not given to God, then that which you had, because of your lack of value on it, will be removed from your possession. What we do not honor, we can't keep. Listen, I'll tell you right now that Jesus said that he was very powerful in any other land except for his own. Because in his own land, people got so familiar with him that they wouldn't even give reverence or respect to what his word was or what he had to say. And as a result, he couldn't even cure but the few common colds in a land where they got too familiar with Jesus. And I want to tell you something, that honor is due our God. Listen, I've really got to preach to you on this because we live in a society where honor has become something that nobody believes in. I tell you what, they won't even honor the police anymore. I tell you what, people look for excuses to try to get out of everything they're responsible for. And I will tell you that this curse has come upon the church because I tell you what, we got people trying to make grace so sloppy it couldn't clean up a spilt glass of Kool-Aid if you had Bounty paper towels. And I want you to know that our Lord's grace is much more than that. Listen to me. I have heard what used to be great men of God saying stupid stuff to people like this. Oh, your past sins are covered. Your current sins are covered. And your future sins are covered. Hallelujah. If you go out and get drunk, you're still saved. Liar from the pit of hell. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 6:63, the Lord said, listen to me, if you want to know the truth, you were better off that I had not come. So because now that I've come, there's no cloak for your sin. There's no covering. There's no excuse. Now that I have come and I paid a price, you can be infused with the power of the Holy Ghost. You are infused with the very Spirit of God. God himself comes upon you, and now it's not normal that a Christian should be in sin. I want you to know that it is absolutely abnormal that a Christian consistently sins on a daily, weekly basis. Let me tell you something. If you're sinning 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10. I hate to say the number of 10 because we're getting into double digits. But listen, if you're sinning 10 times a week, it is completely abnormal. Paul the Apostle said, my little children, or one of the great men, I'll have to look, but it says in the Bible, my little children, sin not. But if you do find yourself in sin, we have an advocate in Jesus that is faithful to forgive, doesn't he? But they do say that Paul said, should I sin now that grace abounds? Come on, yeah, he likes the word. Amen. Preach it, Pastor Phil. Should I sin now that grace abounds? Heaven forbid. God forbid. That's what the Bible says. Do you understand, Christians, that after you're saved by the power of God, your sin nature should start to die and your faith nature should start to grow? You know, it should be found to be a strange thing when Christians are stealing. If Christians were putting someone to death, it should be something that would be so appalling to you that your brain couldn't even wrap yourself around it. If Christians was making something more valuable in their life than God, if Christians were creating idols out of fear and out of their past, and if Christians were raising up their yesterday and raising up fear to put it before God, if fear motivates you more than Jesus, shame on you as a Christian. We need to repent. Now, I love you. If your finances are in such disarray that you're in debt by thousands and it just has you paralyzed, listen, I can understand how that fear is going to be on you, but you submit that to the Lord, and I promise you that if you raise up God over your debt, all of a sudden you'll see that that debt means nothing. Amen? It is time for us to give honor. It is due. I want you to know something, that it is a shame what the church is trying to bring our Lord down to. It is an absolute shame. Going to secular music, going to all this trash, like Jesus isn't enough. I tell you what, we're never going to be a church that plays the old gospel, country classics. We're not going to be a church that has carnal rap in it. We're not going to be a church that has that old trash music. Let me tell you something. There's two kingdoms that produce music. One is called the kingdom of darkness. The other is called the kingdom of light. So in this house, we will be a church that worships. I'll tell you what, Jesus is more than enough. Shame on the old dead, sloppy grace churches today that don't even know who Jesus is. They're so far from him, they think entertainment means something. They're so far from him, they want to turn to the dead classics of the world. Let me tell you something. I'll stick to Amazing Grace. I'll stick to how sweet it sounds. I do not need any trash from the world to come into the house and the sanctuary of God and cause it to be a pit full of sin as opposed to a clean place where people can be set free. I tell you what, you go to those churches and they might have big numbers, but let me tell you something, their divorce rate is so high it'll make you sick to your stomach. They got so many alcoholics and perverts in their congregation that it'll make you regurgitate. And one thing you won't see is you won't see the blind healed, you won't see the lame getting set free, you won't see the mentally disturbed coming back to themselves, you will not see the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in those dead sanctuaries where all they do is compromise, compromise, compromise. I tell you what, our church is not going to be a popular social club. Our church might not be filled with hundreds of people sitting around tipping a little glass of wine after the service, but you will be filled with people that are touched by the Holy Ghost, that are redeeming their lives, that are being turned around, that are stopping suicide, that are getting set free, and that's what we're going to be known for. I tell you what, we're going to give the Lord honor. I want you to understand something, that the Bible does not say that it is the same yesterday and until the progressives take over. I said my word of God does not say that we are the same yesterday, today, and until the progressives take over. And I'm not just talking about politics. I'm talking about those progressive people that have the nerve to try to equal science up to the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about those people who take medication too far because they believe it's the light and the beginning and end. And I want you to know something, that I believe in science. I believe in entertainment. You can have all the fun you want. want, but you better be understanding that when honor is given to my God, there's only one that will receive it, one Christ Jesus, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Woo! Oh, yeah, you guys thought you knew how radical I was. We are just beginning on something. I tell you what, we're just getting started on how we're going to be teaching this thing. I'm telling you right now, we ain't making room for no idols. We ain't making room for Hare Krishna. We ain't making room for Allah and Muhammad and Muhammad and Mustafa and everybody else that's out there. I tell you, we got room for three. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It'll be those three, and it'll be all. And it'll be more than what you need. You won't even begin to tip a fingertip of the iceberg of what God really has for your life. I wish you could pray in the Holy Ghost every day and just request of him and just request of him, because he'd say, son, now I've done it all. Is that all you got? Your biggest and wildest dreams, I love you, but to be quite frank, most of our biggest and wildest dreams are just a ho-hum. Challenge me. I'm telling you. One drop of precious blood set humanity free from before, not just from Jesus. Don't tell me that. It didn't just set us free from Jesus' day, Amanda. Listen, Jesus' blood went back to history. And said, come up out of the grave, people. And then he touched everybody that was alive. And he said, oh, Philip Walker, even though you're afar off, what I do on the cross today will snatch you right up out of death, hell, and the grave, even after you're born, baby. Woo! Our God don't mess around. Our Jesus is woven into our history. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm sorry. I need a teacup or something up here. Maybe a teacup could keep me a little under control, and I could be a much more cultured man. Or you could just get what God gave you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to tell you that we're going to deal with honor today. But even before we get into the scripture we're going to land on, we're going to go to the scripture where honor begins and what gives you not only the right, but the responsibility to have honor in your life. I want you to understand something, that God says in his word, I know the thoughts I have towards you, good thoughts and not of evil, to give you an expected outcome. Listen to me, I tell you what, there's a whole lot of philosophers and there's a whole lot of astrologers and there's all kinds of people that have wrote a word, but ain't none of them died for it. I'm going to tell you something. There's no man. Go find him. Go find Joseph Stalin or Joseph whatever his name was. That's not really his name. But go find Joseph whoever who wrote the Mormon religion. Go find whoever came up with Allah and the fake Quran. I tell you what, find them all. You'll not find any that died and rose up to give credence to what their word is. So don't talk to me about Mother Earth. I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me about your meditation. I don't want to hear about your meditation. Don't talk to me about how you give up this and give up that for Allah. I could really care less, because his bones are still just as dead as any man's dead bones, and they're still in a tomb somewhere. But there's one set of bones. Whoo! Ah! There's one spirit. There's one Savior who got so resurrected that he's sitting down at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us and making sure that in our future there's a way made where we will be eternal forever. And you better grab a hold of who it is who really deserves the right to have honor in your life. Amen. And I'm going to go right to where this was produced. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Some of you probably know this is some of my favorite piece of scripture in the Bible. I reference it all the time. But today we're going to break it down, and I'm going to tell you why. And we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Remember, honor is due. See, the Bible says this, to whom much is given, nothing's required. What? That's what they want you to think today. That's what they want you to think today. The sloppy grace message today is that all you got to do is say the sinner's prayer. If you can just find me a scripture that tells you just say the sinner's prayer and all is well, I'll agree, but it ain't in there, brother. In fact, the Lord says, hey, once you believe, what you're going to do is continue in my word. Once you believe, you're going to pick up your brother. Once you believe, you're going to care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself. And the Lord says what? In John chapter 8, it says that for those who believe, what must they do? Continue in my word. And only when they continue in my word, then my word will not set them. See, we like to use words that give us an excuse to get out of stuff. Oh, once you're saved, the Lord sets you free. That's a lie. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that the word will make us free, doesn't it, Brother Carol? It says, yes, essentially, it says, now don't get me wrong. When we get saved, we're free. If I got saved today and I died tomorrow, I'm going to heaven. But what I'm also going to do is that when the blood of Jesus sets me free and I get in that word, it starts reconditioning my mind. Starts changing me. And you know what? I start loving people differently. I start being different. And all of a sudden, I start having fruits that confirm my salvation, don't I? Yes. Boy, he used to be cussing, fussing, drinking, and just a wild man. But now look, he's a lot different. Now he does good for people instead of selfish deeds that steal from people. Amen? Amen. So I want you to know that this scripture we're going to look at is really going to tell us some things about what's wrong with Christianity today. You know, we live in the I want society. We live in the immediate gratification society. I tell you what, I should be able to text it. I should be able to Google it. I should be able to internet it. I can Facebook it. I can do this. I can do that. And it should all be acceptable. Wrong! This scripture right here says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to begin to read in verse 15. And it says, and that he, meaning Jesus. Well, let's go up to 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I want you to know something, that this is the first fallacy of Christianity, is that in today's world, everybody believes this stupid stuff, that once I get saved, I can get whatever I want. You can get whatever you want as long as it lines up with the word of God. But I'm going to tell you something right now, that here's a big part of societal Christianity and the world in general that's out of balance, because they want to still live to themselves. People are mostly concerned about their wants, their needs, what they can get out of you, what they can get out of life, what they can get out of Jesus. It's all me, 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 me. How am I treated? How am I this? How am I that? Blah, 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 blah. Listen, the first thing that happens when you receive what you've received, when you receive that which is great, you no longer get the right to live for yourself. You do not get the right to tell me what you want to do, when you want to do it, or how you want to do it. I tell you what you get the right to do. You get the right to put your face in that Bible. You get the right to learn it God's way. And you get the right to say, okay, what God tells me to do, that's what I'll do. And if it doesn't line up with his word, I'm not going to be involved in it. See, here's what people forget. The wages of sin is death. And we get so self-centered that we think we can just go sin and do anything we want. We think that if someone hurts us, we can do this. If someone hurts me, I can do that. Or if I don't go do this, I'm not going to do this. Listen, all of that is trash that will die and burn, because the truth is, once you get into sin, the wages of sin is death. Now, the problem you have with most people is they don't see the death right away. They don't see the death right away. It's coming. It's already crept in. It's already headed their way. You know, the other day, I saw a video on TV. Or not on TV. Some man had it on his computer. But it was a video, and these people was in a car driving through, it wasn't a real safari, but what do they have? They have like animal zoos, or they have, what do they call them? I don't know if it was the wilds or not, but it was something where it's not an actual safari, but you are driving through a park. They called it a park, the animal park. And these people got in a big fight, and they're arguing in their car, and all of a sudden, the woman jumps out, and she's standing out there going, ba 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 ba. And about that time, bam, the big cat came and snatched her up and took her. And that's how people get taken by the devil, because they're so involved with themselves. They break out into sin. They lose their faith. They do it their own way. And before you know it, they're right in the middle of their trash. And when their world comes crashing down, they couldn't even see it because they're so self-absorbed. This Bible says that once you become a Christian, you no longer get to live for yourself. You get to live the way God said. You know what the Bible actually says, Mr. Smith? You've been bought with a price. You are no longer your own. So I want you to know from this day forward, as far as you and I are concerned, your opinion don't matter. Your attitude don't matter. I don't want to hear the regurgitation of what you got to say out of yourself. You're going to start saying what comes out of the Word of God, and we're going to mature up and live by that Word of God. Amen? I tell you what, don't come to me offended at your brother. Pray for your brother. And don't come to me whining about your enemies. You can pray for them too. And if the Lord moves you, you can make them something to eat. But one thing you're not going to do is sit here and tell me how bad your boss is and how this is and woe is me. You're going to get your nose in that gospel, and you're going to see what God says about the Word of God, and you're going to live out of that. Half of you could have been promoted already, but you're mad about your froward boss. The Bible says whether you have a good boss or a bad boss, work is unto the Lord. Amen. And don't complain. Get what you get. Don't throw a fit. And before you know it, you'll have promotion coming your way. Jeez, oh man. Christians are such big babies. They act like this Bible is supposed to give them grace. Grace. To float down the lazy river. No, grace is the empowerment of God to rise you above this life so you can get down in the business of spiritual warfare all up in the heavenlies and live a victorious, more than conquering life. Tell you what, I think it was last service, wasn't it, that I talked to you guys about the fact that when I met you, you guys had been, or was it during worship? I don't know. But when I met these guys, they'd already been living for God a mighty long time, haven't you? Boy, I don't even know if I was born yet, snot-nosed little kid that I am. But at any rate, you guys had been living this life of faith. And you had a stroke, didn't you? But this young man right beside you, now he ain't loud or big mouth like I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. We need to know who we are, and we need to live out who we are. Amen. And I ain't afraid of it. And praise God, this young man, that's right, we shouldn't be. But this young man was sitting there, and the doctors came in and said, well, I got to tell you, she's going to have this symptom and this symptoms, and I'm just telling you, this is where she's going to be, and maybe in a wheelchair. They were just giving you the rundown. And all you did was say, that is not acceptable.
Was going to be dead or a vegetable.
Oh my goodness, dead or a vegetable. And you looked over at your sweetie pie who won you home from the military, right? Remember you sent her a letter and telling her how much you missed her and all that stuff when she was there. And she said, if you mean what you say, come home and tell me to my face. Amen. So these people have lived a long time in the realm of faith and living before God being real. So at that time, it was her authority that got him to go tell his sergeant or his lieutenant, hey, I got to go home. Hallelujah. It was the captain. He went right up to the captain and said, hey. And the guy said, how long have you known her? And it was, how long?
Pardon?
How long had you been dating her?
About 6 years.
About 6 years. And he told him he needed to go home. He said, I think you should go. Amen. So her faith called him home. And this was his opportunity to say what his faith was not going to accept. And he had been with this little young lady, her moving and him moving and talking. And he wasn't ready for a vegetable or for her to be dead. So he just said, that is not acceptable, praise God. And we're here today because he gave honor due to God. Now, I'm telling you, as Christians, you had better learn how to get your faith stirred up, and you had better learn how to get yourself in line with the Word of God. Amen? Now listen to me. I want you to hear something. This scripture says that after we're saved, we don't get to do it our way. Henceforth, we will no longer live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. See, most people today, they're not ready to give what it really takes. They expected Jesus to die on the cross, but they don't want to die to themselves to live the way he paid for them to live. Come on, did you hear what I said? Most people want Jesus to die on the cross and go all the way in for their life, but then they do not want to pay the price to live out of the authority that he gave them to be alive with. Most people don't want to die to themselves. They still want to make a bunch of excuses. They still want to do it their way instead of God's way. And you don't have a right to do that. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Even when we knew Jesus after the flesh, the one thing he had behind his name that nobody else had is that he has never been in sin. He never did anything to dishonor or displease the Father. That's why he had the authority to not be known after the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want you to know something, that we like that for a degree. But what we don't like is the fact that if all things are passed away and all things become new and you're a new creature, you want to hold on to your sin nature. And you want to have an excuse as to why everything can go wrong in your life. And the truth is, now that you're a Christian, sin should be something that over time you minimize. If you're still around in your faith and the very things that tripped you up on your first day of salvation are still tripping you up, you need to repent and you need to get your mind renewed and you need to change your attitude on that subject. And I got to tell you something, if you're a Christian today and you're still referencing your past and letting it be something that rules your future, shame on you. You've got to accept the salvation of Jesus Christ, and you've got to quit looking back and quit belly aching about your yesterday and stand up in the strength and the right you have to make a brand new tomorrow. It's time for us to start seeding our future differently than we have seeded it up till now. I want you to know something. As a Christian, you should not still be speaking the same way you did when you were unsaved. I'm telling you right now that the Bible says that what you sow is what you're going to reap. The wages of sin is death. And I'm telling you right now that if you sow a bunch of trash over your relationships and you're spewing it out of your mouth today, you're going to live in it tomorrow. If all you see in your wife or your husband or your children is losers and bad people, then you're going to keep spewing that stuff out. And before you know it, you're going to get what you get, and you ain't even going to be able to throw a fit because it's going to be your big mouth that produced it. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I tell you what, one time I was complaining about Miss Regina at the very beginning of our faith, and two different things happened. The first thing that happened was I said, I think she has a devil. And the Lord said, she does. He's about 5'4", 225 pounds, and he has a big whiny voice. And then I said, Lord, she just ain't the woman that I thought she was going to be. He said, yep, because you ain't doing nothing to help create the woman you said you want. See, we want a woman or a man of God, but God doesn't give us a completed example. You know what? If we just look at creation, we'd know how to do our business. God knew you'd live in houses, but they weren't here, were they? We had to discover how to build them. God knew we needed roads for cars coming, so he first let us get dirt roads with our horses, and then from there we figured out we need a little different something to ride on. If we're going to drive faster, we came up with concrete. Listen to me. God doesn't give you stuff completed. He gives you stuff in potential because you are as creative as he is. So I want you to know something. The next time you sit down trying to tell me how bad your wife is, I'm going to know the problem. It's your stinking bad breath that's on me with that beer hangover that you should have left years ago. The next time you're complaining to me about what a loser your husband is, I'm going to know it's that whiny, cryy tea breath that you've been spewing and breaking everybody's heart with instead of speaking life over your spouse. I tell you what, some of you women call yourself going to a little woman get-together. It's a death together, because all you do is complain about your spouse, complain about your children, and you should have been in prayer instead of down there at the corner running your mouth knitting at the little coffee shop. If you had been on your knees in prayer, guess what? You'd have the best kids in the world, and your husband would be coming home like a superhero. But all you've done is spew out a bunch of trash to people you shouldn't even be talking to, and now you get what you get. Woo, we're just getting started. Are you guys ready? We're about ready to go somewhere with this thing. It is time for us to get a checkup from the neck up and get our heart right so we can start speaking life and we can start living out the expectations of Jesus Christ. Well, hallelujah. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Oh my goodness. Do you know that the thing the blood did more than anything was it put you in positions where what used to be a mystery out of the Bible can be known to you? Do you realize that the blood changed us into a person who can now read the word and understand the word? The blood changed us into the man and the woman that can open up the scriptures and figure out what God always intended humanity to be, and then gave us the power of his spirit to become what we were supposed to be. See, we wouldn't have all this confusion on identities if people would just accept the fact that the Lord says, I made you man and woman. We wouldn't be confused about marriage if we just open up the Bible and see that the Lord said the marriage covenant will always be a man and a woman. Praise the name of the Lord. But no, we have allowed science and stupidity and mental ascension to take the knowledge of man to some place it ain't got a right to go. I'm going to tell you something. No man can rule over the universe. Praise God. No man can rule over science. Listen to me. There's one that rules in the heavenlies, and his name is God. And we're about ready to set his authority in order, because our next scriptures will reveal to you where true power comes from. But right now, we're just going to hang right here for just a minute. Because you guys are new creatures. You have been given the ministry of reconciliation. The first thing you should do as a Christian is reconcile yourself back to God by reading the scriptures. The next thing you're supposed to do as a newborn Christian is you are also been given an ambassadorship. I want you to know something that the Bible says. Now then, are you ambassadors for Christ? As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you understand that as Christians, you have got to attain right standing with God? Listen, I'm glad you start your race with grace. And his grace will reside over your entire life. But grace is not an excuse for sin. Grace is an empowerment to reveal sin and remove it from you. Brother Carol, do you go cussing and drinking and sleeping around with other ladies?
No.
Why not? Why not?
It's not right, and it's not my nature.
You better believe it ain't right, and it ain't your nature. You have the nature of Jesus Christ, so you like to be sober and vigilant, and you like to keep holding this young lady's hand. And if there's going to be a kissy exchange, that kissy's only going to go to her, because if she saw that kissy go to any other woman, she'd cut your lips off, and hallelujah to you. Amen. Amen. I got to tell you something. She rightfully so. If Regina even, I can't even, that's a stupid thought. It ain't even coming out of my mouth. Listen, ooh, praise God. Regina won't even kiss me. How in the world is anybody else going to kiss me? No, I'm kidding. Ooh, but listen to me, I want you to see something here. Because we're starting to get you guys to where you're going to see some things. You are an ambassador. That means you're an absolute representative of the kingdom of God. Do you know that Jesus believes today that the safest example and the closest example of Jesus Christ to anybody in your life is you. He says Christ in you is the hope of glory. Miss Amanda, do you know that the Lord believes that the lady at the women you see at school, the women around your children, when you go to the store, do you realize that God believes that every person that comes across your path, their biggest example of Jesus on any given day is going to be Miss Amanda Smith? God so believes in you that he knows that when Miss Jeannie Tucker's at work and she needs to be around all those workers, God is believing that Miss Jeannie will so represent him that a whole plant can get saved. Well, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But to all the people at your work, look to Jesus because of you, or run from Jesus because of you, or have to find Jesus despite you. I'm getting back up here where it's safe. Okay. Amen, amen, amen. You know what's funny is Regina's being funny right now. She said, all the people at my work are saved. But let me tell you something. Her workplace at the bank, they still miss her. I mean, she had a boss check in one time to see how it was going. And the boss that I know, he wasn't coming there just to see where she worked. He was trying to see, how's it going? We got space for you. I'm going to tell on you next Sunday. I was going to tell on you this Sunday, but I'm going to tell on you next Sunday. Y'all need to come next week because I'm telling on Pastor Regina. Yep, this is the one time I'm going to do a reveal, so make sure you're here for the service. Hallelujah. Usually I do a covering, but this time I'm going to do a reveal. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 13. This is going to be the main scripture that we're going to use for the weeks to come. And I'm just getting you warmed up. Honor is due. The Bible says that whom much is given, much is required. And when you are given salvation, you are being given the greatest gift you will ever receive on the earth during this time. Now, right here in Hebrews, Romans chapter 13, praise God. Keep me straight, people, hallelujah. Romans chapter 13 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I want you to know something right now. Being an agnostic is not an option. There's no power in it. Being an atheist has no power. Being a mother earther has no power. Being somebody that believes in horoscopes and your little Ouija boards, you now know you have no power. I want you to understand something, that if you are any other thing than a born-again believer that believes in Jesus Christ and believes in salvation through his blood, you have no power. I want you to know that if you are part of the Muslim faith, you have no power. Allah has nothing. I want you to know that Buddhist or Buhama or Aja or whatever's out there, I don't even know what I'm saying, because it doesn't matter what I say. The Big Mac God doesn't exist. I want you to understand something. There is no power except for the power of our God. Only his word matters. Everything else falls up under his authority. Is there value in science? You better believe there's lots of value in science, as long as you submit it to God, because all it does is verify God. Is there power in medicine? Yeah, as long as it's temporary and it doesn't rule your life, and as long as it's used something to get you stable and back on your feet, because true healing is only going to come from God. Is there power in food? Yeah, for the temporary time it nourishes your body. And then when it comes out the other end, it ain't no good except for fertilizing grass. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. I better be careful here. I want you to know something, that this Bible declares that all power comes from God. Now listen to this. Verse 2. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. Do you recognize this? That if you resist the organized church, if you resist the law, if you resist God in any way, shape, or form, if you're a person that believes that marriage is between someone different than a man or a woman, you are an absolute resistance to God. Boy, I don't know why, but I feel like I better sit on that for just a minute. I want you to understand something, that this Bible is written the same yesterday, today, and forever, because God saw humanity from the beginning of humanity to the end of humanity, and the same rules that ruled humanity from the beginning are the same rules that must rule humanity at the end of time. And now listen to what it says here. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Do you realize that Christians sin every day because they're just not afraid of the power of God? And the shameful thing is that everything you do is being recorded right now. And you will produce a result that either confirms how you lived and makes you go right to heaven, or you shall produce results that will confirm who you're not, and you will bust tail wide open. Well, hallelujah. Honor is due. And you can't be given much and great and think that you can chintzy your way around the rules and the guidelines of God and think you're going to be blessed. This is how most Christians end up in devastation, because they start the race wanting God. And then as soon as they get a little blessing, they divert from God and they don't go all the way to submitting to God. And that's what causes us problems. You got to go all in. The Bible says that you can't do less than your master. And if he gave his whole life, guess what you're going to have to do? Give your whole life. The Bible declares in Matthew 24, 13, it doesn't say that those who begin good end well. No, no, no. It says that those who endure to the end shall be saved. And I want you to know that your salvation was confirmed when you received it, but you're supposed to continue in it. In other words, if I went to church when I was a little boy and I'm not going to church and I'm 50, I'd be concerned about my salvation. If I was all in when I was 30 and now I'm 50 and I ain't been involved in the last 20 years because someone hurt my little feelings or offended me, I'd get myself to a place of repentance and get back involved. Now it says here, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You know, God is so easy. He makes his book so black and white. If you do what's right, you're going to be blessed. If you do what's wrong, you know what you got coming. And then it says here, for he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon the very thing. Now this, render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute. In other words, pay your taxes, Americans. It says, give tribute to who tribute is due. And I'm going to do each of these the way that references. Custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear is due. And honor to whom honor is due. I want you to understand something. Honor is due. And I want to just explain a little bit of this. God is the power. Let's be submissive to God. The Bible is the final word, and it's the authority over everything. The Bible is not a suggestion. It is the commanded word and authority to all realms, religions, power, people, and all of existence. Everything is subject to the word of God. Therefore, we are all subject to him who is preeminent, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that when it says render, it means to provide or give, service, help, or money. It means to give or to submit or to present for inspection or consideration that which is due. It means to deliver up. So we need to render up. We need to deliver up that which is due. Let it be inspected. Let it be looked at. And let's make sure that it is due what it's supposed to be doing. And due means an expected or planned for a certain time. A payment required at a certain time. What is proper or equal to what is owed. That is how we must give honor. Honor is due. And honor itself means to have great respect for. To be greatly required for. It's to adhere to do that which is right. It is something to be reverenced. It is something to be cherished. It is to be a rare opportunity that we do not to miss. And it is something that we express great gratitude or even great pride in. The Bible says in verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. Now I want to talk to you about a few things like honor. We're going to honor the marriage covenant. The reason we're going to honor the marriage covenant is because God ordained that for all of humanity, there's only one relationship that rules right after God. Our first priority is God. Right after it, the next ruling relationship is the husband and wife, because in that relationship, all of mankind has dominion over this earth. We can teach our children well. We can build up wealth. We can protect our children. We can protect our future within the marriage covenant. Now, I also, since I've been tapping on that a little bit, I got to get over here into this one just a little bit, but Ephesians 6:2 says that children should honor their mother and their father. Now this is where, if your kids are here, get ready, because we're going to get a little adult for a minute. But I'm going to tell you something right now, that the Bible says this. The Bible says that children must honor their mother and father, and the reason they must honor their mother and father is because if they do, they're guaranteed to live long on the earth. I want you to know something. My dad wasn't a saved, full of Holy Ghost man. I'll be honest with you. He lived a very sin-filled life right up till he was 78. Then he got saved the last 2 years, and he was a blessing. But I want you to know that my whole childhood, my father did not teach me good things. I was 14. He gave me my first rolling rod. I'm glad he picked nasty beer, Black Label and Rolling Rock. I'm glad he picks the nasty stuff, because I never thought it tasted good. But I want you to understand something. That here's what I don't understand. Children will have Holy Ghost-filled parents, people that are pursuing God, and they will dishonor them. And I got to tell you something, that we live in a world right now where honor to authority is a shame. You know what? They disrespect the police. They disrespect the military. They disrespect everything. And I want you to know something, that children that do not honor their parents, I'm telling you, difficulty lies out in their future. Now, I want you to know that we can get better at it, but I'm going to tell you something right now. Children, you need to honor your parents. And I tell you what, parents, you need to be strong enough to stand up and be Christians. You need to understand that the Bible says that you can't spare the rod or you'll spoil that child. Listen to me. This man right here knows the gluteus maximus is the most recovering muscle in the entire body. The gluteus maximus is not only made to recover, but it will retain pain and recover quicker than any other muscle, because God knew that at some point children don't just need you whispering in their ear and trying to be all fluffy all the time. Sometimes every now and then they need a little tap. And I want you to understand something right now. Children, you need to obey your parents. I tell you what, we got kids today that they don't want to even get to class 14 keeping their pants up. I'm going to tell you something right now. You know, most kids are out there in battles. They're in high school. They're in grade school and teenage school. And when they ought to be playing sports, when they ought to be throwing volleyballs around, here they are texting and sexing and messing and doing all this trash at this young age. And I'm telling you right now, kids, you need to just stop, live your life for the Lord, and wait till you get married to have sex. Just stop pursuing it. Quit looking at it in your relationships. Just stop. I'm telling you that one day you're going to get married in your 20s or your 30s. Even if you get married in your 40s, you're going to have so much sex that there's going to be times where you don't even want to be near him. You certainly don't want him on top of you, and you don't even want her lying beside you. Listen to me. I'm just being real with you, and I know that you might think this is inappropriate, but I'm telling you right now that there's going to be times after you get married where you got so many years of sex out in front of you, there's going to be nights where you just both choose to eat a good meal and go to bed. I'm just telling you right now that if you're going to be married 40-something years or 60, how long have you guys been married? 60 wondrous years. And I tell you what, they still like to kiss over a cup of tea, but at the same time, I'm telling you that in the life of married people, there are some evenings where you both know you've both been working, you're tired, you're at the hospital visiting somebody, you might not even be feeling your greatest, and there's times where you don't need anything but just to lay down and go sleep and have some companionship. So I'm telling you, if you 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, you're in any of that age range and you ain't married yet, don't even think about having sex. Just stop it. Don't get me wrong, it's glorious, and I'm glad God gave us the covenant and he sealed off the marriage with the act. But I'm telling you right now that there's going to be plenty of time after you're married where you don't even want to have it. You're just going to want to float down the lazy river. You're going to want to eat an ice cream and turn yourself over and go to bed. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what relationship is. But I'm telling you right now, just stop, kids. Just be kids. Just pursue sports. Just holding it. Oh, man, if I get encouraged to go away from this, it makes me dig right in a little longer. I'm telling you right now that we're going to sit in this thing for a minute. Your relationship with your spouse is a lot more than just the physical elements of it. Build every area of it. But I'm telling you, if you are a kid, you ain't even got to worry about it, brother. You will get more, sister. You'll get, listen, right now, just go to school. Do your arithmetic, do your math, figure out what your destiny is, become doctors, become the next, I don't know, Pastor Phil preaching like a maniac. Come whatever you want to do, but whatever you do, don't waste time laying in places you ain't old enough for. Getting yourself confused, getting yourself mentally strapped down. You know, half these kids, you know, it's really weird because I tell you not because I'm probably not the most pursuant guy of my past and old friendships, but in all honesty, unless you grow up and stay living in the town that you were high school in, you don't even know half the people you went to school with. And some of them done left town, and you ain't seen them since high school. What if that's the person you gave your virginity to? 10 years, 12 years, 14 years old. Talking about all this advanced stuff. You don't even need to be thinking that way till you get old enough that you can actually do something. Amen? Amen. Believe me, you're going to have plenty of activity with your spouse. Plenty, who knows? You're going to give out tens of thousands of kisses in all the years you're married. Just don't even worry about it. You got enough time to do it. But I'm telling you about this because in this series on Honor is Due, we're going to talk about the Bible. And we're going to get real because we're not afraid of it. You understand? That's what's wrong with the church today. We're afraid to get right down where you got to wipe a little stuff up. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. I talked about that last week, so I'm trying not to go back. But we're going to sweep stuff up. We're going to sweep up under the chairs and the carpets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I want you to understand something. Honor is due. And honor must be done And people must be found to be in pursuit of what God has for them. Amen? Amen. And I want you to know something. To honor, we must love. If we're going to give honor, we must love. You know, Romans 12:10 says that we should be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. The Bible also says that we are to abhor or hate that which is evil. Cleave. Be real to that which is good. The Bible says in Romans, let love be without dissimulation. That means that there should be no pretense, deceit, dishonesty, or lack of integrity within how we do something. And I want you to know something. We need to honor God, and we need to honor and love people if we're going to see God do what he wants to do in our life. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, God, that we get serious about our life, Father. Lord, the word of God is not a suggestion. It is the commanded way of humanity, the commanded way for us to live. And God, I speak now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just declare that we as a church are going to raise the standard of how we honor God. Lord, we're going to respect each other. God, we're going to renew the reverence for what it means to be a mother or a father. We're going to renew the reverence for what it means to be a Christian and have the right to serve God. We're going to reverence the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We're going to reverence our spouses. Oh God, I pray, Lord, that we would understand what a treasure it is to find a spouse. What a treasure it is to honor a husband or a wife. What a treasure it is to just recognize individual people as so unique that we understand, praise God. We understand, hallelujah, that there's only going to be one Pastor Philip Walker. That there's only going to be one Bob Hoover, praise the name of the Lord. One Chad Smith, one Amanda Smith. One Jeannie Tucker, praise the name of the Lord. Thank goodness the Lord's only going to put that DNA together one time. Amen. Because it's such a pressure just the way it is. Such a treasure, Jeannie, just the way you are. Amen. Father, I pray that we would honor each other. We would respect each other. We would love each other. We would reverence the time that we have together. And God, that we would reverence what people are doing in our lives, Father. I pray that we reverence our spouses. I pray that we reverence our friends. I pray that we reverence our children, Lord. I pray that we start putting the honor on them that are due them, God. Father, let us see them within the kingdom. Let's pursue all things within the kingdom. And let's give you honor because you're worthy. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, say amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. I want you to love on somebody, hug on somebody. And slap somebody if you need to, praise the Lord. Don't slap anybody up.